There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go, FM Talk 106.5 in Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Wednesday. Glad to have you here, live local talk over the hour. Phone number, text line for you, for all of us, it's 343-0106, 343-0106. Quick reminder, too, a podcast of this show and the 40-some odd hours a week of live local programming, stuff that originates right here in the studio here in Mobile at Airport and 65, available for you by going to fmtalk1065.com. Just click in the podcast tab, and you can go a la carte and get the hours you want. Or better yet, why don't you subscribe at iTunes or Stitcher? TuneIn Radio has our podcast, as does Spotify. And so find that podcast, subscribe to it. Or if you do just want a la carte style, just go to the website, fmtalk1065.com. All right, I mentioned before we went to the news, we'd shift gears here from Washington back home to the Gulf Coast. And real special charity, but a really neat event, the local flavor for St. Jude. And that is the Joy of Life Ball that's coming up in February. We're going to beginning of February. We'll talk about that with folks. Number one, His Highness is here. Garrett Colvin, who is king of the Joy of Life Ball, is in studio. Thanks for being here, Your Highness. And I guess your reign has already started.
Yes, sir.
Your job as king of the Joy of Life Ball. I mean, you get to rule.
For sure, I get an old robe, get on the parade. I'm looked at. For sure.
This is a great thing. I want to talk about this, and also Mike Cooper with Rouses is in, and talk about the involvement y'all have in this Joy of Life Ball and St. Jude's.
Yes, sir. We love to sponsor events like this and guys like him, and it's a great partnership we do with the community. You know, community is the life of Rouses. That's, you know, we do a lot of donations for Rouses throughout the year, and we love to partner with something with like St. Jude. It's a great organization.
It's perfect. Perfect. Hey, Garrett, I want to talk about this. So as somebody who is going to be the king, who is the king of the Joy Life Ball this year, that means you've had your journey and your fight with cancer. So tell us about how that's been and where you are now.
Yes, sir. Well, the worst part about it was missing school. I mean, honestly.
How old are you, sir? People who are listening who can't see you, how old are you?
I'm 18.
18.
Yes, sir.
So talk about when you had this diagnosis.
So I got diagnosed in December of 2018, and right at the news.
You're a high school kid, and you get that news.
Right at the news, we get the news that I was going to get brain surgery on January 15th. I wasn't going to be able to go to school, and then with the light of what happened is that I have another surgery back in March, and with that, it was very successful, and from those results, St. Jude's decided to let me have radiation there.
That's fantastic. As you get that that diagnosis, it wasn't just for you, though, Garrett, it's for your family. I mean, y'all shouldered that.
It was really hard. I mean, the amount of, work we put into, having to get back on school or get to work every day, it's so hard because it was really just 6 months of irregular activity, you know? It's not the same life as when you're sick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think about, the life of up to that point, a high school kid just going through, you have structure, right. You have regularity, you know that you do this time of year, these classes, these are the things, that all changes.
It really did. When I could go to school, I got 1 or 2 weeks in on second semester, and I could only go to school for a few hours because my mental capacity was so low. Like, I was so tired, and, like, I was just so tired all the time, fatigued.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, imagine all of us would be. I mean,
for sure.
And going through that. But the great thing is, you go, you do that, you back in, you're in here with your soccer jersey on, or your soccer hoodie on. I like that.
Yes,
so this is great. And you're going to be the king of the Joy Life Bowl. Tell folks, you know, a little bit when they come out to the Joy Life Bowl, I mean, what do you want as king? What do you want us to do? I mean, it's your show. So what do we need to do when we're out there?
I mean, honestly, like, you need to go to the website, see when it is. Just go. It's a great time. Everyone on the court are previous patients from St. Jude's, you know, and that they really make a difference. Like, people don't recognize the struggles and hardships that kids go through besides their families. And if it was just more widespread, like, it happens to anybody, you know. Yeah. I just want people to realize that, like, it could really happen to anyone.
Yeah, I want to get you. You have a perspective a lot of people won't have if they're not a family or they haven't been there, because we see St. Jude's from the outside. Because right. People say, what great work they do there at the home, and then here along with participating, you know, physicians here along the Gulf Coast as well. But inside, what is it like? We hear the stories, we hear the discussions, but tell, I mean, what is it like when you're there getting that treatment?
Right. Well, for me, I thought that I was in a bad shape, you know, like, I, like, really felt bad for myself. But when you go to St. Jude's, I was, like, truly humbled. I was like, I'm nothing compared to some of the kids that go through what they have to go through. They do so much there. Like, you would have no idea how many kids go there every year and, like, truly get their lives saved from it.
It's amazing. And you were there with people that y'all, everybody gets it. Everybody who was there gets
it. Every person, like, in St. Jude's, every staff, even to the custodians, to the cooks, to the doctors, everyone, nurses, they all had a smile. Like, if you didn't know where you were going, they would walk you all the way to where you're going. Like, they ask you questions, they're asking if you're okay today, you know, if you eaten yet. Like, they're just, it's really a family of really nice people out there.
You know, it's great, Garrett, is that's what those of us on the outside that have given over the years have felt it is, but to hear you and talk about it from the inside, that is actually what is happening inside St. Jude's.
Right.
Garrett Colvin, he is king of the Joy of Life Bowl. Also, Mike Cooper with Rouses is here. You talked about that, getting involved in Rouses, getting involved in local. That's what we do. We're a local radio station. Yes. We agree with you here. But this is a big name. This is a national name. The name St. Jude's is known all over the country.
All over the world, yes, sir.
Right, and all over the world. You're probably right. But here sits a young man, part of our community here.
It's just like he said. It's you never know when it's going to hit you. It was something new to him, and it's kind of touching sitting here listening to him talk about it. And it could happen to our children, our grandchildren, and that's why it's such a great thing that we're doing to help people like those, because we never, it could be us one day, you know.
Absolutely. And, well, I mean, here's a man who's part of our community, yes. Right? So let's talk about, and I'll give you a chance, you get, you know, a 50,000-watt bully pulpit here to tell other people and other businesses why they need to get their business involved, why they want to come and sponsor, why they should participate in the Joy Life Bowl.
Well, it's just a great event, and a lot of people will come by the store. You know, they're saying how you did this, and we appreciate you for that. And that means a lot right there. And people in the community love to be advertised in the community. Mm-hmm. They want their name out there, and they love to be part of it. And they're proud that we're sponsoring them, and that's why so many people shop with us, because we involve ourselves with the community so much.
Nice thing is too is you get quite a party to go along with this.
Yes, sir.
This is the nice thing.
Great
you do.
Event. Yes.
I mean, you get to help St. Jude's, but at the same time, you also get to go to a great party.
Yes, sir.
So let's talk about this. You said people go to the web here, because, Your Highness, we come to your ball here, and it's February 1st, am I right?
Yes, February 1st.
All right. What is it? What does it take to get tickets, tables? How do we work this?
Well, the website, you can get tickets on joyoflifegulfcoast.org.
Yeah, we'll have those links up for y'all.
And they opened, tickets opened a few days ago.
Okay.
And it's just, I'm so excited.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And we do this by table too, right? We can get, so we can bring, we can get the whole gang together.
Yes.
All right, so we'll put those links up for it. Garrett, what do you? Anything else you want to let folks know between now? And you're welcome back here between now and the ball, but anything you want to tell those folks as they think about whether they're coming or are going to make that donation to St. Jude's?
Well, I mean, the court is made of kids, you know, of young men and women, but, you know, it still is a ball. You know, it's still a party. It's still...
It's Mardi Gras, man.
Yes, it's going to be so awesome.
I can't wait to see you there. And I have a feeling I'm right now. So Mike brings in a couple king cakes already from Rouse's. This is how I'm training and getting ready for that ball.
Yes, sir. That's king cakes. We sell our Christmas king cakes. We brought you in here one of the cream. That's Bavarian cream cake. It's the Christmas one. We sell a lot of them at Christmas time. And then we also have the king cake with the green and gold and purple colors in it. It's cream cheese, one of our number one sellers.
Do you have any stats on that? Just a side note, just like how many king cakes y'all sell at a...
It's thousands. I was at the Spanish Fort.
We bought thousands at my house.
There's eight stores here in Mobile and Baldwin County, and I was at the Spanish Fort store last year. We sold 8,500 just at the Spanish Fort store last year alone. So
you're talking about,
you know, 100,000 in this... two counties probably. So
there's a reason, because it's good stuff. Well, it is a pleasure to make both your acquaintances, Your Highness. Garrett Colvin, thank you for bringing your story to our audience and helping people understand how St. Jude's is helping right here along the Gulf Coast. And I can't wait to see you at your big party.
Yes, sir. I'm excited.
All right. Joy Life Ball coming up February 1st. We'll put the links up on our Facebook page. You can find out exactly. Just link through there, or you can just Google Joy of Life Ball and get your ticket through that. Any questions, always drop us an email or check us out on the web. 117 coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Man, it puts a smile on your face. Yet we'll put the pictures up of Garrett, who's the king of the Joy Life Ball, who had his own fight with cancer in the last year and is now getting to bring the message of St. Jude's to so many folks. So we'll talk about this obviously a lot more between now and then. And FM Talk 106.5, we're going to be well represented at the Joy Life Ball. I'm going to be emceeing the event as well coming up February 1st. I want you there. It's just a charity that means a lot to us, and the local aspect here, having a Mardi Gras ball, forget about it. It's too fun. All right. Let me do this, because speaking of Mardi Gras, it was tough. So somebody sent me a link of the closing of Florida Street to celebrate the opening of Florida Street that happened today. And it had Excelsior Band playing, which I love. By the way, let's make this note. I haven't written this down anywhere. But if I get, if I get run over by the bus this afternoon, please, y'all pull some money together to have Excelsior Band play at my funeral. All right, so it sounded like this today. And following the Excelsior Band, I see Councilman Fred Richardson, of course, because number one, this is his district. Number two, he likes to have a good time and likes to be with his buddy, Mayor Sandy Stimson, right? Because there's Mayor Stimson walking. But it is interesting today. We mentioned that that Florida Street finally officially reopened, even though it's kind of been open. It's kind of been open for a few months. But now they got all the cones up and the work stuff up. They got it open. But so how did they celebrate this opening of Florida Street? Well, they closed Florida Street down and had a parade. That's it. Nothing further there. I just wanted to make that known, that was the way they celebrated the opening of Florida Street, is by closing it. I want to get to the story about Americans saying politics are the biggest source of stress in their life. New survey out about that. But before that, if you're feeling stressed and you have emotional issues and you need an emotional support animal, have you ever thought about emotional support animals? Now, we've had this discussion. Actually, there's been some legislation passed in Alabama, I think, further clarifying what makes a emotional support animal, what doesn't. Remember, we've had the stories over the years the you know, emotional support monkeys, right? Which, and then what we have, Dalton, we have a story where there was a guy went on a plane and it had a dog and a monkey, and he said they were his emotional support animals, and somebody, I think, challenged him that he couldn't have two on the flight, and then he said, I don't know if the monkey was the emotional support animal for the dog or the dog was for the monkey. I'm not, because he said, oh, only one is my emotional support animal, but my emotional support animal has its own emotional support animal. And so I thought at that point we had reached peak emotional support animal until I saw this story out of Arizona. But this is good. This guy is doing it on a lark to prove a point. Okay, story from Fox News says, an Arizona man's emotional support animal is creating quite a buzz. Prescott Valley, Arizona resident David Keller thinks the application process to register an emotional support animal is too easy, so he tried registering a swarm of bees as his service animal and pet. He was successful. Okay, Keller was inspired to go through with the registration after seeing a service dog that was visibly untrained. Which, by the way, as I went to and fro last week when I was gone, went through Charlotte, right? Going through Charlotte Airport. Same thing I saw back in September when I flew up to Washington. We did the radio show from Washington for a few days up there. And I came back and I said, there's dang dogs out of their crates, like their little carry crates everywhere. In people's arms, walk alongside, they have dogs all over the Charlotte Airport. Like, I've never seen in Atlanta, I've never seen in Memphis, never seen in Dallas like this. Charlotte Airport is like chock full of Pomeranians. So lots of opsas coming out your ears. Same thing was true last week when I traveled. People walking around, they have the little carry thing, mesh carry thing, but the dogs out of that as they go through the concourse. So it goes back to the story here. Keller was inspired to go through the registration after seeing a service dog that was visibly untrained. Quote here, I could very easily tell that this was not a service animal because it was pulling the owner through the parking lot. I was thinking this is just too easy to get animals to be service animals, end quote. The website he used to register his swarm is one of many that make the application process for emotional pets too easy, according to experts. So he goes on there in Arizona and registers a hive full of bees. He went to the website called usaservicedogregistration.com. You can go there yourself, click it. And he successfully uploaded a random photo of a beehive as his service animal. Then they approved him. Once again, remember, this guy's not doing it because he wanted to have the bees. He's trying to prove a point. I think he did. So, not saying there's plenty of folks that get absolute relief and lifestyle back from emotional support animals. I think dogs are probably best, but some people may argue there may be some other animal that does okay. But we know it's not a hive full of bees, right? We know it's not a, but those were approved as well. So just saying, I think it diminishes when, okay, I think the strongest advocates of tightening down what should be allowed as a service animal are those people that have them that need them. No people that have them that need them. Those people should be fighting right alongside of this guy who are pointing out the, because when you start, it's like anything, when you start just defining it as whatever you want it to be, you water down and diminish the real benefits that people have from them, right? When it starts being, I have a emotional support tarantula, I have, you know, emotional, pick the animal, here's my iguana, which I think we had an iguana story too, I think, Dalton, that they had. But so when that stuff happens, the people that really need them, I think, should be the strongest voices to say, no, that's not real. So there you go. There's that story. And one quick note here, and we'll go to the news break and then come back, talk some more state news as well. But tonight, 6 o'clock at Mod Pizza. There it's the in the Pine Brook Shopping Center. So it's Airport, Azalea, McGregor, the west side of that shopping center there. Pine Brook Shopping Center at Mod Pizza. It's Mr. and Ms. Sorry, get myself in trouble. Mr. and Ms. Gulf Coast Finest 2020. Now you say, what the heck is that? Y'all, this is a law enforcement beauty pageant. Can I say, I guess there's got it's a beauty pageant. It's one with, until they tell me otherwise. Call it a beauty pageant. So it is it happening tonight from 6 till 8 o'clock. This is Mom Pizza. Yes, members of law enforcement will be out, and they will be strutting their best and showing you their talent and everything, trying to win. By the way, this is a benefit. The important part of this is, before I get myself in trouble with those competing, the most important part of it is a benefit for Family of the Fallen. Families of the Fallen, you know, the charity we talk about. We talk about during Mardi Gras, loading the float for them. This is a fundraiser for them. So it's a fantastic charity. Just puts me in the position of having to tell some members of law enforcement that they didn't win the pageant. It's not going to be a good night for me. It's not. I don't see how I win this one.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 136 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Mentioned quite a few times here, taking the show on the road. This week, going to Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry to see my buddy Angelo and Ron and Nancy, and it's also y'all's kickoff to the real shopping season. Don't you think, Angelo? Once we do this each year, when we come out in December to see y'all, that's the real deal shopping.
That really seems like that's what kicks it off for everybody. And I know for you and I, that just means we still have almost another week left. You know, but for the rest of the world out there, yeah, they're going to come in. You know, starting, like you said, noon on Friday, and be checking things out, see what kind of swag we're going to be giving away, register for that drawing. It's going to be a lot going on.
Okay, we mentioned just register for that drawing. Tell them about this drawing.
Okay, so the drawing is pretty cool. So, you know, from Mobile Bay Coins, you're going to get a half-carat total weight diamond earring set, open L knife, one of those engravable Christmas rounds, some other cool jewelry. From Nature's Nuances next door, a really cool bath and body set that's all handcrafted here next door to us. And then from Tanner's Pecans, the same thing, but on the sweet side of things. So you're talking fudge, brownies, pecans, you name it. Two big old gift baskets and some awesome swag from Mobile Bay Coins. All you got to do is register.
Well, when you go through all the cool items in that gift pack, you actually kind of lay out a really good way for people to look at it for shopping for Christmas, because all the things that, well, the things that come from in-house at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry are things that I bought from y'all in the past as gifts. So talk about the favorite gift items.
So some of the most popular gift items so far are the engravable Christmas rounds, engravable bars, the open-L pocket knives, and all the different pieces of jewelry we have in the shop. And, you know, we could take a whole day to discuss that, but so many different options. It's the stuff that launches people into a room rather than just go, oh, thanks, and gets tossed behind them as they're opening another person.
All right. Let's also talk about what's happening with the things that are normally taxed items and what's going to go on Friday.
Yeah, so something we're going to do, just because you're here, and I know how much you love sales taxes, not. normally, gold and silver bullion and U.S. coins and currency are tax-free, but for Friday, to celebrate you being here, everything in the shop, we will cover the tax on. So if you come in and buy some nice jewelry, you're buying some coin supplies, you're buying some other items that would normally be taxed, we will be deducting that tax off of there and covering the tax for you.
Great stuff. Tell folks how to come see you today or come see us on Friday.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. You can always go online and check out MobileBayCoins.com or go on to Facebook or Instagram. Like and follow us there.
All right, Angelo, we'll see you Friday.
See you Friday, buddy.
All right, Angelo, checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. We can grab some calls and quite a few texts here. Oh, by the way, too, Chester, let's make that. I'm going to hold you to it. Well, I can't hold you to it unless I haunt you or something, but if, you know, I said, we're talking about the Excelsior Band. If I get run over by the bus or something, I would like to. I'm just making a public note here. I have not written this down. I guess I have to go do this and put this in an actual document, but I would like the Excelsior Band, please, at my funeral. Please, please, please. All right. So thank you. Chester, if you got the contact there, you can go ahead and just say, we don't know what, we want to book it, we just don't know when. Just don't know when that's going to be, y'all are going to be needed. Right. Mention this story. I just want to quickly survey. We'll do our unscientific surveys here, which, by the way, our unscientific surveys often line up with where the expensive surveys go. But a story here says vexed voters, 8 in 10 Americans say politics are the biggest source of stress in life. Now, if all you do is consume hardcore politics all the time, maybe, but you're telling me there's no way. Because, I mean, every other study out there says it's money, right? Money or something else is traffic. But this survey out says nearly 7 in 10 adults say their lives have never been more stressful than now. 2/3 of Americans say all this anxiety is making them less productive at work. Now, really? Is it anxiety or is it just distraction? The story says here, it's from the folks at Study Finds, says U.S. politics have never felt quite as contemptuous and unavoidable as they do today. We're a nation of people who are constantly plugged in, whether that be via smartphone, desktop, or regular old cable news. As such, it's hard for the average adult to go as much as an hour without at least casually glancing at a sensationalized headline, or nasty social media comment fueled by political disdain, or television screen featuring a biased news pundit. Survey of 2,000 Americans finds that all this vitriol-filled political discourse is taking a serious mental toll. Now, listen, if it's what you do all day, like I do, in reality, it can wear you out. But, I mean, you can get away from it. You can still get away from it. They said 78% of the respondents say politics are the number one source of anxiety and stress in their life. Really? 70, I mean, if people like 50-something, I would buy 78%. Okay, so y'all could, I mean, if you want to call in or just send a text in, is it the number one stressor? Wasn't it always supposed to be money or health or relationships or things like that? If you're letting, you know, at some point they went down all the list of places you get these nasty social media comments or something like that. You don't have to. You don't have to go there. You can turn that off. You can turn that off. Because I'll say the majority of people that get attention on social media platforms, and I mean in media, I mean that's what we do, right? You get attention. But you do that by being extreme. It's a minority that seems like a majority on social media. The majority of folks out there probably don't have such vitriolic beliefs one way or another, right? But they sign up to think, you know, well, this is what I see in my feed. This is what I see on Twitter. This is what I see on Facebook. This must be what everybody else other than me thinks. But I'd buy that. But there it is. So 78% in this survey. Now it's 2,000 adults in the survey. What else did they say? Oh, okay, they had more breakdowns. They said another major stressor for people is health and medical issues. Well, good. At 37%. Now, you're telling me this 78% politics, 37% health. 37% of respondents listed their own significant other as a big source of personal anxiety and stress. There you go. Now we're talking some real stuff. These knuckleheads also said, 32% said social media is a cause of anxiety. But isn't that politics and climate change? 32% of them, number one stressor was climate change. Okay, let's throw this whole report out. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I can tell you when I was at DOJ, if someone said, let's tap Hillary Clinton, or let's tap Bill Clinton or John Kerry, the people there would have said, what in the hell are you talking about? What was going on here? This wasn't Jason Bourne. This was Beavis and Butthead.
Ted Cruz from earlier, Senator Cruz, during this Senate Judiciary hearing going on, and discussion of the IG report as well. I think we're starting to... It is what we started talking about, I think, on Monday. I think Dalton and I first broached this. And the way that you get, if you go through the way media is laid out now, you're going to get one of two opinions about the IG's report. And rightfully so. I think Dalton questioned the other day how possibly, I think on Tuesday morning, asked how could somebody have already read through the 460-some-odd pages of this, and I know there are executive summaries and things like that, but how could they come out and know exactly what it says? Now we had a few more days for people to look through this. This idea that this is a slam dunk, you know, that people from the left have called it a slam dunk, I think this is... got a lot of questions here. Let's talk about what's been established, and they're arguing that in Washington right now. Number one, it did hit the threshold. Okay, so here I go down the middle road, although it's a bumpy place. It's a rocky road. But in the IG's report, the FBI did hit the baseline, for an investigation. Okay? But also in the IG's report, it said how very low the threshold is to open an investigation. So just because they opened an investigation doesn't mean they had a stack of information, okay? Also, I think it's got to be a big win here and this was from, I saw a note here, let me see if I can find it, a tweet from Kimberly Strassel had said this. Let me read a quote from, Kimberly Strassel. She's got a some great books out there as well. But so she goes down her findings of the Horowitz report, said this about Devin Nunes, and I agree. Kimberly Strassel says the report is a triumph for former House Intel Chair Devin Nunes, who first blew the whistle on FISA abuse. The report confirms all the elements of the February 2018 Nunes memo. Think about how far back that is. So when he was... called names back then. That was confirmed in this IG's report that said the dossier, Steele dossier, was an essential part of the applications, and the FBI withheld info from the FISA court. We've heard today in testimony that's not the only time it's happened. Strassel goes on to say a couple things I think are of note here. Conversely, the report is an excoriation of Adam Schiff and his memo of February 2018. That document stated that the FBI and DOJ officials did not abuse FISA process or omit material information. Also claimed the FBI didn't rely much on the dossier. We're seeing in the IG's report, in fact, that he said it, what was the quote, the Steele dossier played a central and essential role in getting the FISA warrants. So Nunes looks like the hero, and Schiff looks like the zero if you go in the time machine back to 2018. In fact, IG report, is saying, it said a devastating, it goes on, Kimberly Strassel says the report's a devastating indictment of Steele, Fusion GPS, and the dossier. Report finds the only thing the FBI ever corroborated in that document were publicly available times, places, titles, names. The IG finds 17 separate problems with the FISA court submissions, including FBI's overstatement of Steele's credentials, also the failure to provide the court with exculpatory evidence and issues with Steele's sources, and additional info about how it got Steele's credibility. Strassel goes on to say every one of these issues is a story into itself. Example, the FBI had tapes of pages of Page and Papadopoulos making statements that were inconsistent with the FBI's own conclusion theories. They did not provide these to the FISA court. Another example, FBI later got info from professional contacts with Steele, who said he suffered from, quote, a lack of self-awareness and poor judgment and pursued people with no intelligence value, end quote. FBI did not tell the court about those credibility concerns. FBI failed to tell the court that Page was approved as a, quote, operational contact, end quote, for another U.S. agency and candidly reported his interactions with a Russian intel officer. FBI instead used the Russian interaction against Page with no exculpatory detail. So you go down a whole bunch, and then it's a big indictment on Comey here. Remember Comey saying it was no big deal who paid for the dossier? Well, was a big deal who paid for the dossier. I think the two things is the IG saying yes, by the letter of the law, there was enough here for the FBI to open the investigation. When people say, well, there wasn't even, it says, yeah, actually did meet that level. But the flip side of this is it's based on way more than the Democrats have wanted to admit based on the Steele dossier. That's my takeaway. That's my takeaway so far. You may have a different bent, but I mean, there's certain things. Can we establish anything as fact here? I mean, there's certain things that here's the way it's done. Here's the way it was done. Don't you think it's, I mean, when you go through the IG's report, when it says they use this information, they had this information, then they go to the FISA court and only said this, that I think you can make a case that they squashed information, right? When they went to the FISA, they cherry-picked. I don't know if you say that in the case. Yeah, but you cherry-pick what you want for the FISA court. This is a big deal. Also, the FBI was, the IG is slapping the FBI for using what is supposed to be a baseline briefing for the Trump campaign for foreign intelligence threats as a chance to investigate Michael Flynn. They said that, you know, the argument right now is whether it's spying or surveillance. It sounds like a semantics battle to me. Also, the IG says when he found no documentary evidence of bias, he means just that. He didn't find a smoking gun email that says, let's take out Trump. Okay, so this is on the flip side, too. When Republicans said, wait for the IG report, it's going to lay it out that there was a, there's nothing in there that says, let's take out Trump. But if you look at the whole of the information, you have to ask why the FBI would behave like it did. So, I mean, that's, I think it's pretty interesting what's come out today, and we'll talk more about this coming up tomorrow. All right, another couple things. Let's run around the state. I thought this one, are two politicos that aren't from around here in Alabama, but they are both people that have been on this show, and I think it is interesting that Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth has come out to endorse State Senator Cam Ward. Now, Cam Ward's been on with us a bunch to talk about prison reform. Okay, he is running for the Alabama Supreme Court. Will Ainsworth comes out and backs Cam Ward, and they're not both from Cam Ward's from right outside Birmingham. Will Ainsworth from North Alabama. Thought that was interesting. I wonder what wheels are moving on that. Remember, Will Ainsworth came out and opposed the governor. He's lieutenant governor. He opposed the governor on the tolling issue for the I-10 Mobile River Bridge. Pretty interesting moves for Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. Speaking of which, somebody suggested that name as well for our 2019 Alabamian of the Year. I think that's probably a good one. Right now, it's your chance to nominate. This is how we do this each year. So Time Magazine did their, you know, Greta Thunberg, Thunberg as their Person of the Year and the Youth Movement. Okay, so each year for the last three, we've done Alabamian of the Year. And once again, it's not a popularity contest. It's that person, for us, it's that person, place, thing, event that has most dominated not only the news cycle, but has had the most effect on the lives of Alabamians in 2019. Okay, so what is that story? What is that person? You nominate those things, and then we put them into a bracket. We'll seed 32, and then from starting Monday, I think, from Monday through the end of the year, you will vote them down. We'll winnow down the list. Now, last year, Dalton reminded me, the last two in the mix were Jeff Sessions and the high-stepping turkeys of Governor Ivy fame. High-stepping turkeys won that one. This year, the high-stepping turkeys are not in it, but Jeff Sessions is again. So there's people like Sessions, they're in the mix. There are people like Governor Kay Ivey. There are also issues like the gas tax, which you could say connects to Kay Ivey. State Auditor Jim Ziegler is in the mix, which of course is right there, joined at the hip with the I-10 Mobile River Bridge toll question. Also in the mix, Ben Raines and the Clotilda. We also have CBD is made. Somebody said, yeah, I guess CBD is big enough that's made it in our list. The lottery's made it in our list. Statewide, that thing, that person, that group, that critter that's most influenced the news cycle. Go ahead and nominate, and then we'll get them seated in the bracket starting Monday. You can send those nominations into the text line. Just put Alabamian of the Year 2019 as like a title line when you text us at 343-0106. See y'all tomorrow. Feinbaum next.